have a great treat this morning. Our jail chaplain is here with us. We're going to ask our brother Eddie Frazier to come and give us a little report here on his jail and prison work.
Well, guys, I just want to thank everybody for all they've been doing, but I think we're up to 219 so far this year at the Gurney unit alone. Yeah. And another 41 at the Gatesville unit, which is all female. The congregation that has members writing the letters to the inmates the week they were baptized, I want to thank all of those ladies or whoever they are that have been writing, because we're getting correspondence back from some of the families that have people incarcerated. We're hearing from the families that are on the outside. They're writing those letters also, want to know where we are and how they can come to our church. So the process is having some results. So those that are writing, I just want to thank you and keep up the good work. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you. Isn't that great? Let the church say amen.
Amen.
That's wonderful. Eddie baptized 1,081 last year. I'm so proud of him. Isn't that wonderful? Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. What was you doing while you was resting, Eddie? You know, that's work, man. Baptized 1,081. How wonderful it is. Great Easter Sunday morning. We're glad you're all here. We are going to talk this morning a little about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you'd open your Bibles with me, please, to the 6th chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6. You know, we've studied and we were in Romans chapter 5, and now we've graduated up to chapter 6. And we found that justification by grace through faith is absolute and unquestionable. That he took off in chapter 5, teaching us that we're justified by faith, therefore we have peace with God. And then we looked at that faith and hope and how hope and faith works together. And so we went on and continued study in chapter 5. Now chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? And the word there is hamartina, is lawlessness. Shall we continue living a lawless life like we lived before? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound so that God can forgive us, so that he can show his power in forgiving us? And such a thought like that was just repulsive to Paul. Look what he says. God forbid. How that we are dead to sin, live any longer therein. So the gospel being the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we need to get the gospel in our life. How does that work? Verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. So just as Christ died on the cross, God wants us to determine in our heart that we're going to die to sin. We are baptized into his death. Now the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We're baptized into his death. Therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Now the gospel being the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, God wants us to get that gospel in our life. He wants us to die to sin just as Christ died on the cross. He wants us to be buried in a watery grave of baptism, and he wants us to rise from that watery grave of baptism to walk a new life. Now let's turn over to Acts chapter 2. Now we're going to examine this morning, and I have some handouts for you back there in the back, but we're going to examine this morning the examples of conversion that you find in the Bible. We have some examples of conversion. In Acts chapter 2, Jesus had sent the apostles out and told them to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus said, all authority or all powers given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. In Luke 24, verse 44 and following, Jesus said that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all the world, beginning in Jerusalem. So in all accounts of the Great Commission, Jesus tells us that baptism is involved in this. Now, 50 days are between the resurrection of Christ and the event of Pentecost that we find in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, the Spirit is poured out upon the apostles. They speak with other tongues and other languages. There's great demonstrations of the power of the coming of the Spirit on the apostles. There's a rushing mighty wind. There's cloven tongues of fire that sit above each of the apostles. And so the people can hear and see this demonstration of the Spirit that happened on the day of Pentecost. Then beginning in chapter 2, verse 22, the apostle Peter stands up and preaches the gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, what he had been commanded to preach. And so you see that beginning verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you. you. How was Jesus approved? By miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye've taken by wicked hands and have crucified and slain. There's death. Whom God has raised up, there's resurrection. Having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. For David speaks concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He was on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Over my flesh shall rest in hope. David says when he dies and he lays down in the grave, his flesh will rest there in hope. Why? Because thou will not leave my soul in hell, Sheol, the grave, the pit, neither will I suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Jesus is going to go to the grave. The Holy One's going to go to the grave, but he's not going to be in the grave long enough to rot to see corruption, is what that verse means. Now turn to verse 37. They hear this sermon, and in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? A cry of hopelessness. This is not like the Philippian jailer we'll see later on, where he says, what must I do to be saved? They don't say, what must we do to be saved? They said, what can we do? What can we possibly do? We have murdered the Son of God. What can we do? So it's a great surprise that God has something for them to do. Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, what for? Notice that word for, circle it in your Bible. For the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now what we're going to do here is I've laid out for you the examples of conversion in the book of Acts, and I've laid out for you all of the things that the Bible talks about that deals with salvation. And what is so important today is that we not get a hold of one thing that God says about salvation, but that we get a hold of everything he says about salvation. And we put it all together and we add it all up, and then that's the sum total of the matter. Now on the day of Pentecost, Peter says, repent and be baptized. He didn't say a word about believing. He didn't say anything about faith. He didn't say anything about confessing. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. How many of you know what a synecdoche is? I don't see a whole lot of hands. A synecdoche is a figure of speech where a whole of a thing is used for a part or a part for a whole. Let me give you an example. If I tell you, well, bless your heart, do I really mean that? Am I just blessing your heart or am I blessing your whole person? Well, I'm blessing your whole person. What if I say I have 100 head of cattle? Does that mean I've got 100 cows' heads on a pole? No, it means I got 100 cows, right? What if I say I like your wheels, man? Do I just like the wheels on your car? Do I like your whole ride? Well, I like your car, don't I? I like your whole ride. So it is a figure of speech that we all use and we see commonly every day, and the Bible writer uses them too. He uses one thing to represent the whole. There's no doubt that the people on Pentecost who were saved believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about it. Even though the author doesn't mention it every time, there's no doubt that they believed. There's no doubt that they had faith. There's no doubt that they confessed Christ as Lord. It's just not incumbent upon the author to mention every little point every time. Now, false religious teachers will tell you, oh, listen, it's not that way, but that's the way it truly is. You're going to find out the truth today. We'd encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free tape or a songbook. We'd encourage you also to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for downloads of great a cappella singing and a fair to middling gospel preaching. So we'd encourage you now to turn with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. This thing that I've drawn up here on the blackboard, I have copies of them in the back, and I'd encourage you to get one of these, take it home, get two of them, give one to your neighbor and fill one out yourself and learn this where you can teach others. In Acts chapter 8, the church has been scattered abroad and Philip has gone down to the city of Samaria, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles that he did. Well, let's go down to verse 12. But when they believed Philip's preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So the Bible here says that the Samaritan people, that they believed and they were baptized. Did they have faith? Of course they did. Did they repent? Of course they did. Did they confess? Of course they did. It's a figure of speech in which a part is used to represent the whole. Now look over into Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is in the desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, and read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither and to him, and heard him read from the prophet Isaiah, and said unto him, Understandest what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now the place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb is dumb before her shear, so he opened not his mouth. And in his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. That's straight from Isaiah chapter 53 that the eunuch was reading. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest thou, the prophet of himself or some other man? Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now I want you to notice he preached unto him Jesus. And I want you to see what's involved in preaching to somebody Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, how did this eunuch know about baptism? It just says that Philip preached to him Jesus. How did he even know about baptism? Well, apparently part of preaching to someone Jesus is to tell them what they need to do to be saved. And the eunuch says, Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So in this account, we see that believe is used to deal with the Ethiopian eunuch. We see that he confessed Jesus Christ is Lord, and we see that he was baptized. I want you to notice that this took place in the desert. It took place in the desert. People all the time, I've been a minister for 40 years, and people have argued with me for years and years and years. Well, what if you can't baptize them? What if they're in water? The God that I worship supplies water. He supplies water in the desert. He supplies water wherever it's needed. They're being baptized in Iraq right now. I noticed that they dug out a hole in the ground and lined it with sheet plastic, and it looked like a little bitty grave about a foot deep, and they baptized some people in the desert in Iraq. It's a simple thing. 7/10 of the earth's surface is water. Don't tell me that they're in water. The God that I worship will supply the water if you have faith. 40 years ago, there was a prisoner at the federal penitentiary in Leavenworth. That prisoner was me. And I worked for the chaplain, and the chaplain was a man named Manny Craig, and he was an Assembly of God preacher. And I started teaching people, and I took them to him, and I said, Chaplain, would you baptize? And he said, No, it's not necessary. Not necessary at all. And I said, Well, chaplain, that's your job, and God commands it. He said, It's not necessary. We don't have to do it. I said, I'm asking you, please, to baptize this guy. He wants to be baptized. He said, We're not going to do it. So God had sent me another Christian named Bill Crossman. He's now the chaplain of the federal penitentiary at Leavenworth. He's chaplain at Lansing. He's got the Church of Christ Prison Ministry in Leavenworth. You want to go online, look him up one of these days. So Bill Crossman came there, and he was a graduate of Lipscomb School. And I told him, I said, Bill, we got to baptize this boy. I said, Now, there's one bathtub in the joint that's in the hospital, and they guarded that hospital like you guard Fort Knox, I'm telling you, because that's where all the dope was. I said, Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray, and we're going to ask the Lord to blind the eyes of the guards or do whatever's necessary so that we can get in there and baptize this boy. And I noticed that when cops walked up to a gate, that they would holler to other cops, they'd say, Door! And the cop would push the buzzer, and the door would buzz open. But if a convict walked up there, they just have to stand until the cop recognized them and opened the door for them. So me and Bill get this guy. We're going to baptize him. We head for the door. And I said, just walk towards that door like you didn't even marry Bill. And so we get up close to the door and I holler, door. And he buzzed. And man, we went right on in and took him upstairs and baptized him. Come back out and his hair's wet and got a wet towel under his arm. We walk back out and run right into Manny Craig, the chaplain. And here's this guy with a wet head and a towel. He said, did you baptize him? I said, yes, sir, I did. Don't you ever do that again. I said, chaplain, if you'll do it, I won't have to. I'm trying to be in subjection to you. It's not necessary, and I'm telling you, blah, blah, blah. I baptized about 20 that way. He was furious. He sent notices to them over, said, don't let my clerk in there without me. And they tell him, he ain't been in here. Now, I don't know if God blinded the eyes of the guards or what, I really don't know. But the God that I worship supplies the water. I had a call this past week from Joe Garman, who's head of the American Rehabilitation Ministry, and he'd help pay for some of my college. He said, Kelly, you remember when you got me in Leavenworth and we baptized that Hell's Angel in a laundry cart? And I'd forgot it. I said, yeah, Moses Malone, I remember that now, in a laundry cart. We got a laundry cart and filled it up with water and baptized this huge Hell's Angel, great big guy out of California, in a laundry cart. The God that I worship supplies water in the desert. He'll supply water. He tells us to do it, and it's our job to go do it. It's not our job to supply the water. It's God's job to supply the water. So if you'll take off to do it, God will supply the water. I want to assure you that. We want to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free tape. Well, I've had great experience in baptizing people and God supplying the water. May Roseborough's uncle was dying here, had cancer, and she'd been trying to teach him for years. She called me and said, oh, Brother Kelly, said he wants to get baptized this morning. I said, May, my back's out. I can't hardly make it. My back's out. I'm just suffering terribly. I said, maybe I can get somebody to go with me and help me. I couldn't find anybody at all. So we get over there and I said, well, let's talk about this. Is there a bathtub up there? She says, I don't know. I said, well, we're going to have to pray. I said, God's going to have to help because I don't know how we can do it. I said, how big a guy is he? She said, he's 7'4" tall. Great big huge guy. I said, oh my Lord, I don't know if I can do this, May. And so we prayed and we said, Lord, you're just going to have to work it out. You're going to have to supply the water. So we go in over there and the nurse was in there and I went around looking for the bathtub. Tub, couldn't find it, come into the room. The nurse is in there loading him on a gurney. And she said, oh, hi, preacher. She said, I'd asked you to stay, but I'm just fixing to take him to his whirlpool. I said, oh, really? Oh, really? Yeah. I said, will you mind if I go with you? And she said, no, not at all. And she had him on a cart. It's like a stretcher. And she rolled it over this whirlpool and just cranked it down in there. He was already down in the water. Already down the water. I didn't have to touch him hardly. Man, I baptize you in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. The easiest one I ever did. The God that I worship supplies water. I took a mattress and put across cell doors because Chaplain Williams in the Dallas County Jail wouldn't baptize people. Well, the guards caught us and pushed the door button, and it let all that water out of there. There's a huge, huge flood, man. Well, they scooped me up, put me in a hole, sent me back to Leavenworth on the first thing, smoking. And so years later, I'm the chaplain of the Dallas County Jail, and the major in charge of the records department, I was walking by one day. He said, Kelly, come here a minute. He said, you see that big spot in that ceiling there? He said, it still leaks. Now, he knew I was the guy that caused that mess, baptizing those people. And that's what he was telling me, you know. He said it still leaks, and there was a big spot up on the ceiling up there. God will supply the water. People will tell you different, but God will supply the water. The God that I worship supplies water in the desert, I'm telling you. He supplies water anywhere and everywhere. Now back to Acts chapter 10. Cornelius and his household have been told to send for Peter that he'll explain to them the gospel. Acts chapter 10, beginning verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Down to verse 39. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. 3. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead. And let's drop down to verse 44. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them that heard the word. And they that were of the circumcision, the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and prayed that they tarry with him certain days. So we see in this account that only baptism is used here. Cornelius, Saul. I skipped Saul in Acts chapter 9. Let's go back to Acts chapter 9. I forgot that. Now Saul's on his way to kill Christians, and the Lord strikes him down. And in verse 9, he goes into Damascus. Notice verse 9. And he was 3 days without sight, and he did neither eat nor drink. So he fasted, trying to save himself. And there was certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said, seeing the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he says, behold, I am here. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire there of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. Not only did he not eat for 3 days, he prayed for 3 days. Now, people will tell you today that the way to be saved is just come right on down here, down forward, and come to the mourner's bench and pray your way through. That you got to come down here and you got to repent, you got to cry, and you got to pray your way through until you come through. Now, see, Saul of Tarsus tried that. He tried not eating for 3 days and 3 nights, and he tried praying his way through. It didn't work. And he's seen a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. So go down to verse 17. And Ananias went his way, and he entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately they fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and he arose and was baptized. So here we see that Saul was baptized. Now let's go to Lydia and her household in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Tyre, which worshipped God, heard us, whose hearts the Lord opened, and she attended to the things that were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, her and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So all it says is that Lydia was baptized. Did she believe? Of course. Of course. Did she confess? Of course. Did she repent? Of course. The author just doesn't tell us everything that she did. Now let's look over at the Philippian jailer in chapter 16, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. They'd been put in a slammer for preaching Jesus Christ, and they sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. Now there's an earthquake, so the guards think that the prisoners have escaped. If you worked for the Romans in those days and you were a guard and a prisoner escaped, you had to do his sentence. So the guard was about to kill himself. And look down here in verse 28. Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and he sprang in and came trembling and fell down at Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou art saved. Is that what that says? See, that's not a past tense verb. Is it? It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be, in the future tense, saved, and I shall be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that believed in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all of his straightway. So in this account of the Philippian jailer, he's told to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and he was baptized, and that's all that's mentioned. We want to encourage our radio audience to visit visit the Church of Christ nearest your home, or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free tape. Now notice a few things in this verse also. I want you to notice the clause in verse 33, and he took them the same hour of the night. The clause, the same hour of the night. And I want you to notice the adverb straightway. Does that tell you anything? I have many Baptist friends, and I have debated with many Baptist preachers. And they all tell me, oh, listen, baptism can't be essential for salvation. It really can't be. Because what if somebody believes and they're killed before they're baptized? God wouldn't do that, would he? Now, they're worshiping a different God than I worship. They really are. Who gave them the idea that it was all right to dilly-dally around about baptizing people? Who gave them that idea? What is this concept? Where did it come from? To where people come forward and they say, what must I do to be saved? And they tell them, well, come back next Christmas and we'll baptize you. Or come back next Easter and we'll baptize you. Or come back in a month and we'll baptize you. That can't happen here. It can happen here. You can't tell me that God is going to strike somebody dead from them confessing right here in front of this church between there and the time they walk up here to get baptized. We do it straightway, just like they did it in the Bible. Why doesn't everybody do it straightway? That's a good question, isn't it? Where did they get the authority to lollygag around about it? That's one question I'd like to know. I just don't really see where they get the authority to do that. Look at Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. Look at verse 8. And Cyprus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. And here again, we see that the author simply mentions believe and baptism for the whole, a part for the whole. We know that they did it all. We know that they did it all, but he only mentions a part for the whole. And so let's look at Acts chapter 19 now. Acts chapter 19. And it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, a disciple is a believer, and he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Now, Paul is an apostle. He has the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was the authority for the apostles to lay hands on another simple Christian and for them to receive one of the nine supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. So these gifts were given by the laying on of the apostles' hands. And so Paul asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? He's ready. He's ready to lay his hands on them and help them get the Holy Ghost. And so they said, we've not so much heard that there be a Holy Ghost. And he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard where there be any Holy Ghost. Now Paul is shocked. He can't imagine this. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. John the Baptist's baptism. And then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now I want you to notice that you can't be taught wrong and baptized right. You understand? If you're taught wrong, you've got to be baptized again, because you can't be taught wrong and baptized right. You've got to be believing in the right thing when you're baptized. And in fact, Romans chapter 6, where we begin this lesson in verse 17, says, but thanks be to God that you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was given to you. So if you don't obey baptism from the heart, you go down to water a dry center and you come up a wet center. There's not going to be any conversion. Now I want you to notice in this that believe is only mentioned four times. Repent's only mentioned once. Confess is only mentioned once. But what is mentioned every time? Baptism is mentioned every time. Why did the Holy Spirit inspire it that way? I think because he knew that there would be a time that men would belittle this. And they'd say, oh, you don't have to do this. All you got to do is just believe. If you go forward at a church, any church in Dallas, you go forward, you go out there to different churches, you go forward, and you ask them that simple question, what must I do to be saved? You're going to get as many different answers as there are churches. One church believes one thing and another believes another. Some people say green equals black, and some other people says red equals black. And so they argue with one another. No, no, green's black. No, no, red's black. And they don't have sense enough to know that if you take one bucket of green paint, you pour it in one bucket of red paint, you got two buckets of black paint. Isn't that simple? It's not one thing that God says about salvation that saves us. It's everything God says about salvation that saves us. Now let's look over in Acts chapter 22. We see again Saul of Tarsus. Verse 12, and one Ananias, devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there. Verse 14, and he said, the God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be a witness to all men what thou hast both seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Doesn't it say, wash away thy sins? Doesn't it say that? Certainly does, doesn't it? The prophets all agree with this doctrine that I'm teaching you. Turn with me now to Zechariah in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12 in the Old Testament, beginning in verse 10. Speaking of the Christian dispensation that's to come in the future, Zechariah's back here writing about 400 years before Christ. He's prophesying about this event, about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. The spirit of grace and supplication. He did it on the day of Pentecost. He poured out the spirit on the apostles. The spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me. Circle that word me in your Bible there. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. When did the Jews ever pierce their God? Well, when that Roman soldier took that spear and thrust it in his side. And forthwith there came both blood and water, as John tells us. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one is in bitterness for his firstborn. Look down at chapter 13, verse 1 now. In that day there shall be a fountain open. Makot is the Hebrew word. You know how that's also translated in the Old Testament and in the New? It's translated living water. Living water. Why didn't they translate it living water here? Well, I don't know. They should have, but they didn't. But there's going to be a fountain open. What's in every fountain you've ever seen on the earth? Water. And that day there shall be a fountain open. What day? The day that the Spirit's poured out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The day that they look upon him whom they have pierced. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. What for? For sin and uncleanliness. And what did Peter say on that day of Pentecost? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, for sin and uncleanliness. How do we know we're tracking this right? How do we know we're practicing proper hermeneutics? Look at verse 6. And one will say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? And he will say, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Jesus said the people that murdered him was his friends. Just as on the cross he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Look at verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man and against my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. And I, Satan, will turn my hands on the little ones. Jesus said that verse right there, at the Last Supper, he said that was talking about him, didn't he? Look over in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. How much hardship is it to us to be baptized? Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee into Jordan to John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou unto me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus had to walk 40, 50 miles over there from Galilee to the Jordan. It's a long walk. You got to walk 40 feet to be baptized. Come on, guys, let's get this in perspective here. Let's look over in Peter, 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19, a verse that's well misunderstood among most people, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, Most people think Jesus died and went to preach to the spirits in prison. That's not what this is saying. Noah preached to the spirits that are now dead and are in prison, and they're locked up under divine arrest by God, by which he went to preach to the spirits in prison. Noah did. For how long? 120 years. When sometimes during the disobedience, once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, 120 years, while the ark was preparing, wherein a few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, look at it, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth now save us. Does the Bible say baptism saves? Of course it does. Does believe save? Of course it does. Does faith save? Of course it does. Does repent save? Of course it does. Does confess save? Of course it does. Does baptism save? Of course it does. It's like five fingers that make a fist. It's real simple stuff. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, our Baptist friends say, oh, baptism can't be essential for salvation because it's a work. Let's see who's working in baptism. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith, the operation of God, who's raised him from the dead. You see that word operation? It's energia that we get the English word energy from. And almost always it's translated in the King James translation of the Bible, work. Who's working in baptism? God's working. I can't wash my sins away. Like Peter says, not putting away the filth of the flesh. It's not like taking a bath. It's a spiritual bath in which God meets our faith. Naaman the Syrian came to Elijah the prophet, and he asked, wanted to be healed of his leprosy. And Elisha told him, go dip in the River Jordan seven times. Boy, he got mad. He got really mad. He said, we got better rivers than that over in my country. And he's going away, and his servant tells him, Master said, if he told you to do some great thing, you'd do it, wouldn't you? Yeah. Well, why won't you do a small thing? So he went and he dipped in the River Jordan. He went down the first time and he came up and he's still a leper. Down the second time and he came up and he's still a leper. Down the third time and he came up, still a leper. Fourth time and he came up, still a leper. Fifth time and he came up, still a leper. Sixth time and he came up and still a leper. What if he'd quit then? And he went out the seventh time and he come up whole. God met his faith in the water. Faith is to hear what God says. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Faith is to hear it, believe it, put your faith and trust in it, and obey. Always obey goes with belief. If you're here this morning, you're going to have an opportunity to get the gospel in your life. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ in your life. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, there's no reason for you to be lost. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible teaches that we need to have faith in God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, the Hebrew writer said. The Bible teaches that we need to repent of our sins. For the times of ignorance God has winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And the Bible teaches that we need to confess Christ as Lord and be baptized into Christ. If you're here this morning, you want to become a Christian, you're going to have that opportunity. You can just march right down here and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and we'll baptize you straight away just like they did in the Bible. We'd encourage our radio audience to flee the Church of Christ nearest your home and ask, what must I do to be saved, before it's everlasting too late? If you need the help of the church and the prayers of the church, won't you come now while we stand and sing?